Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, you know, it was an opportunity. We tried to give all the prospects that have shown well, you know, a good opportunity. They had a good lineup. I think it just tells you that when it comes to compete, you know, NHL compete, it's hard. You win your battles, you get the edge in the game. I thought we lost too many battles, but yeah, they had a good lineup. They had a lot of forwards in there that are part of their main. But it's a learning experience for a lot of our guys.
5-2 setback for the Sabres against the Wings last night, but a clean sheet for one of the most talked about on the show yesterday, Radim Mertka and his partner Zach Jones. So that's a nice silver lining up against a Detroit team that definitely had a little bit more in the way of NHL regularity compared to Buffalo's roster. But Marty, the shots got away from the Sabres very early on in the game and never really self-corrected.
Yeah, I was tapping my screen. Is the shot clock okay? I need to readjust. Felt like the Carolina statisticians were in Detroit last night. But no, it got away. And we discussed it yesterday on the show about, you know, Lucas Raymond, Dylan Larkin, Marco Kasper. Like, you know, they had some really good forwards that were going to play, and Mo Sider. And look, I think there was some, you know, on the Sabres side that were overwhelmed, that did not really show well. And that's okay. It is preseason and it's going to happen. Now, you may get, like last year, games where you have your AHL teams out there and they're responding and they're winning and they're keeping it close. Look at what Toronto did to Montreal last night. Toronto didn't have much going on. It was their B team or whatnot, but they went in and it happens, right? Mm-hmm. But normally, if you go into a preseason game where you're on the road, you don't have a lot of your NHL regulars and the other team dresses, that's what you're getting. So you take it for what it is. You look at individual that either performed well or did some good things, and then you move on to Saturday's game.
And what did you think of Mertka? Because I honestly, like, right from the start of Prospects Challenge, every single team has, at the, you know, very least a few times a game, gone after him after the whistle, tried to engage him physically. I feel like he dusts it off, like, with relative ease. I get it. These are Prospects Challenge and preseason games, but I love the fact that nothing seems to bother him from that standpoint. I would say on his first shift last night, I don't think he was completely 100% paying attention after the puck went up the ice and he got kind of hit into the wall. I'm like, okay, you gotta have your elbow up and be ready for that one. But
he wants to take a hit to feel in the game. Maybe he's like, come on, hit me. It's Rocky Balboa. Hit me.
He would not be the first player to ever want that. So,
But okay. So Mirka, I felt like in a game where we've talked about how the Sabres defended against Columbus and, you know, you leave it for what it is, but they did give up more high danger chances against Detroit. Detroit were able to create 5-on-5. You want to know, out of the 16 high danger chances that the Sabres gave up 5-on-5, how many Mirka was on the ice for?
I don't think any.
Zero. Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Like that is a feather in his cap saying that, look, in a game where the other team has a lot more firepower, a lot more NHL veterans, and you go out and you defended and did not give up any high danger chances when on the ice, I think that's a very, very good sign. And look, Lindy Ruff spoke after practice today. Matthias Samuelsson has an upper body injury, didn't practice. I mean, yes, you got Jones and yes, you got Connor Timmins, but I would keep looking at Mirka a little bit and saying, hey, could he be somebody that maybe stays a little bit more early in the season, maybe plays a few games before you make a decision on him, if there is an injury concern with some of the players on the back end. So I think Mirka is definitely putting a little pressure on the Sabres staff to say, keep giving me looks and keep putting the pencil that I could factor in at the start of the season.
Samuelsson, by the way, being evaluated for an upper body issue that's been bothering him. So, again, we're only halfway through the preseason here, and this is, you know, dare I say, the norm across the league. So many players just never get a full camp in, never get the full run of games, come in great shape, all of a sudden something's nagging. We'll get into the extent of Florida's injury to the captain, Sasha Barkov, coming up, and it's certainly depressing at the moment for the Panthers. Shayna Goldman's going to join us really soon. And huge news out of Rochester today. Don Stevens will be with us at the bottom of the hour as we'll discuss that specific to him. I just want to follow up on Mirka because yesterday we spent some time talking about him and Jones. And I think I don't want to overlook Jones in all of this. I thought in the moments where they were obviously not playing in their own zone, and they did a really good job of that. It, like, they were like the low event pair for the most part last night, but there were also moments in the offensive zone where I was like, like flipping sides, Jones taking more of the aggressive route offensively. I know they didn't get much towards the goal on Talbot through the first couple of periods. That's obvious. The shots were, what, 32-9 after the second period?
Yeah.
You know, but I'll take the little things that we were focused on based on what our conversation was yesterday. It's disappointing, sure, for the rest of the forwards to not have a greater impact. But, you know, hey, the power play got two goals, give one up too. But, you know, so.
Yeah, and I was happy.
Mind you, Detroit was 32nd on the PK, and they had a lot of regulars from that mess last year.
It was so funny, though, because the announcers that were doing basically the Detroit game on the radio, but for the stream, they're like, oh, it's a good chance to work on their penalty kill who were 32nd last year and they need to be better. And then they score a shorthanded goal. Obviously, Georgiev mishandled it, gave it right in the feet of Power. That's one of the things with Georgiev. Look, I'm not going to look at yesterday and say, oh, was that a really step back for Georgiev? I think it was Radbone that puts it right into his own net. There was some plays in front of him that were not up to par, but Georgiev has been known to at times being a little casual in his positioning and in the way that he plays with the puck. That first play with the puck, like, you have to make a strong play there. You got to help your defenseman who's being pressured, and he puts it right in the feet of Power. So yeah, the announcers for Detroit were like, oh, that's the great sign, the penalty kill, getting a goal. And then sure enough, great pass by Quinn. By Doan to Quinn, and then obviously great play by Doan himself to be able to go around Talbot. So a couple of guys that showing skills in a skilled situation on the power play, Quinn and Doan were able to do that.
Austin had a great finish, but the line for the entirety of the night just never was able to, you know, establish anything in the offensive zone. They clearly weren't alone when you go through the metrics of the game. You know, obviously when the shots alone are as dramatic as they were at 32-9, I almost think you would have expected the shot attempts to be even greater in Detroit's favor, but it, you know, it was what it was. They didn't have, I guess here's the, we should follow on Georgiev just for a minute. Like, and, the part that I always, you know, have tried to have empathy for players that are getting NHL preseason games. Mm-hmm. They're not expected to make the roster, but you also just want to try and have a clean night. I felt awful for Metsä and Rathbun on the consecutive goals. Like, what are you going to do? Like, Metsä was in perfect position. And he went one, he tried to get it and then had like that inadvertent bounce off the skate. And then it goes right to Larkin and it's in the back of the net, right? And then he's on his man behind the net. The puck somehow comes out and gets punched into the net by Rathbun.
By Redbone. Sider was behind the net and that sent up. Yeah. So and the play that we're showing right now on MSG, the beautiful save by Georgiev. Like, Metsä does his job. Redbone does his job. Kozak totally leave his man and goes right through the net. So you're looking at the defenseman, you're like, oh, that's another great chance against that pair. And you're like, well, it really wasn't on them. Mm-hmm. Tyson Kozak had to be better on that play to realize I got to continue with my guy to the net. So, but I feel like that was one of my takeaways, like, feel bad for Radbone at Metsä because they were, you know, what is it, the Larry Murphy line, that when the goal is getting scored, he went away as far from the net as he could, so he wasn't in the picture. Yeah. Unfortunately, Radbun and Metsä were in the picture after a lot of goals.
Yeah, so tough result for them. I mean, it was 2-2 midway through the second period, despite Buffalo having like six shots on goal, and then all of a sudden the Wings got three in an eight-minute span, and obviously rolled to a 5-2 win.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to the season opener. It is going to be on home ice at KeyBank Center. The Rangers are in. Pre-game party in the plaza. All fans in attendance will take on the Welcome to the Saberhood rally towel. And you can go there, sabres.com right now, /tickets to purchase yours today. Tickets were in hand for Shayna Goldman the other night as she was at Forest Hills to see Chapel Roan. And that's really the only reason I am super excited to welcome you back for a brand new season because you had the capper of all cappers to the summer. How are you, Shayna?
I'm great. I honestly cannot believe I was there. I cannot believe I got that little ticket lottery. I was in the car driving home from Montreal, panic buying these tickets. And oh my God, I've never been to a concert like that. And that was unreal. She's iconic in every which way. Mm-hmm.
Would Amazing. You say that Chapel Roan is kind of the, I want to say the new Lady Gaga, but
yes.
I remember like Lady Gaga at MSG the one year, like putting on the show. She's at the piano on top. She's banging on the piano. But Chapel Roan puts out this type of event that's kind of like Lady Gaga-esque.
Yeah, I would say Lady Gaga walked so Chapel Roan can run. And you see it from the way they dress, from the way they perform. And even there was an interview I was watching and she was talking about how like Lady Gaga did Joanne and showed like, hey, I can do something else. And then Chapel was like, oh, I can do The Giver. But it's amazing the way fans embrace her and her uniqueness. And you see that like just looking around at the outfits. I have never gotten to do this for a concert. So it was so much fun, like seeing how everybody is dressed up. And then you yourself are trying to think like, how do you match this moment?
Yeah. Well, Lady Gaga is still soaring, obviously just played multiple nights at the Garden and has still an extensive tour ahead where she, you know, 3, 4, 5 sold out shows in certain cities. It's
now, can we say that Chapel Roan like really hit the scene big, like in Buffalo, because she was scheduled
Last
summer
them,
to play the Town Ballroom, right? And then they had to move her concert to the Outer Arbor because there was too much of a demand
for
a ticket.
But that was only 6,000 people, and then it was 80,000 at Lala 3 months later. So
that's the thing. That's like
Buffalo started it.
It's incredible. It is like, I think Forest Hills is what, like 15,000?
Yeah,
and you just see it's like four straight shows of it, crowds bumping the entire time. And this is someone like, you see those festivals. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand the people that are like, okay, we need to scout our stuff. And like, that's your day, just sitting in your position for the, I mean, that's how it was here too, right? Like, there are people going there at 8 a.m. for wristbands to be able to be up against the barricade.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's passion. It's dedication. It's everything that also transfers over to sports, which is why we love talking about the game that we love so much. We have to start, though, on a really tough note here, because Sasha Barkov,
yes,
had knee surgery today. I don't believe we have an updated timeline yet on how long he will be out. It is certainly feared that a
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It could be for the whole season. When you hear of something like this for a team that is unmatched in the NHL these days with back-to-back cups and three straight trips to the finals and built for more winning, what do you think the Panthers would do to try to offset this loss?
Mm-hmm. So we've seen them have to navigate these really tricky injuries before. Like, you think a couple of years ago is Ekblad and Montour both out. So now you needed other guys to step up. And, you know, this is a team that has the structure and I would say the foundation in place that you can try to plug and play to keep things afloat. And they did. But here it is. It's a totally different situation, right? You're not talking about solid, good top four defensemen. You're talking about their two cornerstones up front, right? Like, it's Matthew Tkachuk for half the year and now Barkov for who knows, right? Like, it's being speculated, could it be the entire season? That's a massive loss because even with the Tkachuk injury, you're going, okay, who steps up? And it's like, well, Barkov probably has another offensive level. And if he can keep things afloat on both ends of the ice, it's going to be fine. And, you know, it helps that they have a lot of depth. They have a lot of guys who can play center, right? Lusterainen and Lundell both can play center right there. Reinhardt has experience playing center. Yep. So you can see how they can try mixing and matching different combinations and see how things go. But at the end of the day now, Reinhardt has to do it all by himself on that top line, probably. He did it last year when Barkov was out for a little bit, but doing it across a full season in all situations on both ends of the ice, that's like a really tall ask, especially when you don't have that second line that's one of the best in the league to score. So now guys like Brad Marchand, you're going to be expecting him to play more. That's great and wonderful. But will that weigh him down when it comes to the spring and that playoff push that you know that they're still striving for? It's a really, really difficult situation.
So this or that, do you put Reinhardt in the middle or do you elevate Sam Bennett to top line center? Like, that is basically the two options I could see.
I'm going to say start with Reinhardt at center to try to spread the wealth a little bit, because I think if you go Bennett-Reinhardt, you're just too top loaded. I would be thinking you go with the second line. Maybe it's Verhaeghe and Bennett and maybe Samuskevich. Yeah. Or maybe now Samuskevich, you throw up to that top line on the right side of Sam Reinhardt. So you have that shooting presence. You have a good playmaker there. I think he is my like wild card in all of this. I think he could have a real breakout season. It's going to be a lot harder without Barkov there. But I think those are the guys I look at to see if they get elevated first. And it's going to be big for someone like Carter Verhaeghe. Like, I think he is going to be very important in this too, because the last couple of years you're seeing his rush-based efforts kind of trail off a little bit. Well, now they need that puck-moving presence. They need someone to get them into the zone. They need someone to kind of take over shifts, and I think we know he can elevate his game when the pressure rises. Like, this is your moment. So I would keep those two centers there and just try to load up their wingers.
Well, if Marchand was actually on the third line last year, I mean, who's to say based on what the Panthers looked like? I mean, their scoring balance in last year's Stanley Cup playoffs is not to be forgotten. It was legendary from like first to 10th on their team and how productive they were. I think the two of you are missing the super sub in a situation like this, and that is Anton Lundell. I really think he rockets up and he fills a hole. And I think we have seen this in times gone by. And it's incredible to hear both of you throw names and positions and things like that and realize, okay, no Barkov, no Tkachuk. They're still really good.
Yeah.
Like, what a team. Holy cow.
Yeah, I like the idea of Lundell moving up because, like, he truly is a baby Barkov. I wonder what they do here, because if you do that, you do risk a little bit of your third line production, especially if Marchand's going to be the guy to move up to that second line, right? Like, I think they'd want, okay, Lustran and Lundell, you know that they're there. But say you just move Lundell up to 1C. We know he can play that role, right? I think he has all of the traits to do it, all of the skill. And then that keeps Reinhardt on his wing where, oh, look, he could score 40 goals. Like, you could still have this 1-2 punch that's really strong. And who knows, maybe then Marchand balances out the third line and doesn't get the jump to the second line. Maybe then it's Samoskevich there. Maybe the reverse is true. And that third line takes on a different responsibility, because if Marchand and Lundell aren't there, I don't think they're going to take as tough of a workload, right? So you could still load up that top line, let the second line get somewhat exposed, and then shelter the third. Like, they definitely have options here. And I think that they have a coaching staff that knows, this is like the biggest part of it all. They have a coaching staff that knows this lineup inside and out, I would say. Mm-hmm. And they know what buttons to press to just get them to a point where they're in a good position when Tkachuk gets back.
So, Shayna, I know the Sabres have Detroit tomorrow afternoon, 3 p.m. at KeyBank Center, and they have Pittsburgh twice next week before getting ready for the next week when the season opens on October the 9th for the Sabres. And they play the New York Rangers. So I'm scrolling through social media today on X, and the biggest thing is, well, Mike Sullivan is installing a defensive zone coverage. It's not going to be man on man. And so how does that change the way that the Rangers and Shesterkin and everybody else are going to respond after having so much trouble in the defensive zone last year and missing out on the playoffs after winning the President's Trophy? So, I mean, it is still almost 2 weeks away, but we got to prepare for the Rangers now.
Yeah, I think it's not a bad switch to make, because, I mean, listen, they need to do anything to change what last year was. You watched last year and you watched the defensive zone coverage and you literally watch it and go, what system are we watching here? Because it was so chaotic. So I think coming in with a plan, a message, and a way to execute it, and I think Mike Sullivan has all of those abilities, is going to be really good for them, because Igor Shesterkin has showed every single year that he could be one of the best goalies in the world despite his workload, right? Like, immediately out of the AHL, that was true. And then last year, if you look at expected goals against from Evolving Hockey, among starting goalies, the only two starters to face a higher rate than Shesterkin were Georgiev when he was traded to the Sharks and Dostal in Anaheim. So that's two teams that landed at the basement of the standings versus a team that had playoff aspirations. So I think this could be a very good thing for them, because they very clearly need to change. And I think when you look at that bottom four in particular, I don't think they have the mobility maybe to play as taxing of a system. So if they can figure out something that'll kind of account for what that group falls short in, it'll be a good thing.
In your, you know, the outlet that you write for, The Athletic, in your season previews, for whom was there more optimism, the Sabres or their opening night opponent, the Rangers?
Ooh.
I would say the Sabres, because for the Rangers, it's not optimism per se. It's get back on trackism. Like, do not repeat last year's disastrous season because you should be in the playoff picture isms. And for the Sabres, it's, okay, wait, is there finally a light at the end of the tunnel? Oh, wait, could there be this hope of the playoffs? Which I think, you know, the last couple of years we saw the progress and then it kind of came to a halt and it was like, okay, these other Eastern Conference risers are getting better around them, right? And Columbus and Montreal were two teams from last year that did. But all of a sudden we're looking at it going, maybe there's something here, right? And I think the age of a lot of the Sabres players is really big in this too, because sure, they don't have as many, you know, they didn't have as many guys in their prime the last couple of years, but you're seeing the young guys getting ready to take those next steps, right? So someone like Zach Benson could be in a better position. And now you have someone like Doan. He's, you know, could be part of that next wave of it behind Tage Thompson. That's a really big thing for them. So I'm excited to see what they do. I'm more optimistic about them because the bar is kind of low when you have a playoff drought like this. But I think we're seeing the ceilings of those players starting to click a little bit more. And I think that there's just potential in that versus this is an aging core that needs to get moving already and get back on track.
So you mentioned Florida. We talked about Barkov being hurt maybe for the year now with a knee surgery happening right now. Tkachuk missing a half a season. So they'll take maybe a little drop, right? And maybe they're still a wild card team. And who knows what happens in the playoffs. They're still a really good team. Toronto is a team now that, well, Joe Woll is, you know, kind of taking a personal leave of absence. They're signing James Reimer to a professional tryout just to have some insurance. And the word is that Stolarz, although great when he plays, may not be the type of goalie that can play 45, 50 games. They lost Mitch Marner. Do we think Toronto may take a step back as well, which will allow Rangers, Sabres, Detroit, Columbus, Islanders to maybe hope that they can get in?
Yeah, like I don't see them winning the Atlantic this year. I think it's Tampa Bay's to lose, and I would have had Florida right behind them and then go three spotter to Toronto, which is not a bad spot to be. You're still in the playoffs, but, you know, it's different from last year when everyone was jostling for a position and they really picked up the pace, and that gave them the Senators in round one. That's how you avoid a Florida team in round one. That's an important thing for the Leafs. The Stolarz conversation is going to be so interesting to me because when we were doing this year's player tiers, we really had to debate the goaltenders of what they do and the role that they have and who could push for more. After you get past that tier of like, these are the elite workhorse goalies that can play 58 games and put up sparkling numbers, right? Like that's not for everyone. And names like Ullmark and Stolarz kept coming up because what they do in their minutes is so good, but we don't know what they'll do in a bigger workload, right? And sometimes you say, well, just because they haven't done it means they can't. On the, you know, on the flip side, it's maybe they can, they just haven't had the opportunity. I think for Stolarz, we saw him last year kind of go on a run as a starter when Woll was out in the beginning of the year, and he was excellent. But he got hurt later on in the season, so it stopped him. Otherwise, I'm curious if he would have gotten that extra playing time. So I think the fact that, you know, Woll's absence is temporary is going to be good for Stolarz, so he doesn't have to jump up to, say, 60 games. I don't think he's ready for that. But I think the Leafs could comfortably give him a little bit more here or there to prepare him again for the playoffs where he was fine last year, but like just playing more and embracing a bigger role.
Who will be the first player to sign the extension that everyone has thought they would have signed by now?
Jack Eichel.
Oh,
nice.
Okay. What's the number for Alex Tuck? Because, I mean, early in the summer, I thought 8 million. Now, Pio LeBrun, your, you know, co-worker, The Athletic, has said could be double digit. Do you think we could see Tuck getting to the 9.5 to almost the high nines on AAV?
I don't think he should go double digits. I think 8-9 is a sweet spot. And I think we have to recalibrate what we think about contracts in this different cap world. And I think Rantanen and Marner kind of threw curveballs in there going for 12, not 14. And that set the bar lower for everyone. So now it's like, okay, this team needs to, you know, these players need to take less because they took less. But I think we'll be able to look at guys like Tuck who are that, ideally that like number three forward on a team, right? And you say, okay, what's their number? So, and what's the cap hit percentage? And what's comparable to that in next year's cap world? And that's going to be a really good debate and conversation. I think also when you look at the Sabres and how their cap picture is composed, like there's not an internal cap, but up front, it does feel like that a little bit. I wonder if that comes into play a little bit because, you know, it's Power and Dahlin going double digits. Tage Thompson isn't. When they signed Dylan Cousins to that contract, he didn't either. Obviously, different situation, but they signed those contracts as centers and kept them to a certain mark. I wonder if that's a factor at all here. I don't know if it should be, but we have seen some teams kind of operate that way, right? Like the Devils did. I would think 9 is that sweet spot, though.
Do you think any of these star players that are in the final years of their deal are looking at Los Angeles with a now retiring Kopitar and thinking they will be the next marquee player there?
No, I would be looking at that going, I am not taking a step back into the Ken Holland era and not signing defensemen who were good 10 years ago. And I use good as a relative term to what they are now. And I would say I'm going to go anywhere else. If I'm Connor McDavid, I'm not looking at LA with a 10-foot pole because he has that experience with that general manager. And that general manager didn't get it done in Edmonton. So I wouldn't be convinced that he could do it
here. I think they went to a final.
Yeah, but they didn't get it done. And you look at the weaknesses and you go, well, if they addressed it this way, you know, I would just be like, no, the vision simply isn't there. And I think with LA too, you look at some of the guys out there and you're like, well, they could be that dimensional game breaker that LA is missing. And that's what puts them over the hump. But then you also look at just how they've fallen short and you go, you know, there are better options out there.
I watch a lot of TV. A lot of crime and suspense and thrillers and comedies or whatnot. I think it would be all of that put together if McDavid decided to go to LA after Wayne Gretzky left the Oilers and went to LA. So that to me, it fits. And I kind of want to see it.
I'm here for it. I want the chaos. Like, I don't need the NHL to go up to the heights of the NBA, but give me anything. This offseason was just, give me any intrigue. Give me a free agent that says, you know what? I'm going to actually use my right to sign somewhere and get a massive contract and let the whole world just like go wild over it.
Yeah, but true or false, you would take this NHL offseason every time if it ended with Chapel Roan in concert, right?
Every single day. I mean, exactly. I got to have a life this summer. I'm not complaining.
Exactly. Thank you, Shayna. So
thanks
good
for
to
having
see
me.
You. We're, of course, speaking of music, trying to whittle down our goal song here at the arena this year for the Sabres Blue and Gold games. We know the song that will be played when the Sabres score during the Black and Red games. So log on to sabres.com/goal song. We hope to hear how about all 5 of them that are on the list right now? The 5 finalists, that would be nice if we heard them tomorrow afternoon for the 3 p.m. game against Detroit. Back after this. Don Stevens on a very special day from Rochester. Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
What we all miss the most is the food,
the Chinese food.
Any decent Chinese food or pizza, New York City pizza.
I'm not driving 35 minutes for a decent slice of pizza, okay?
There's no pizza, there's no bagels.
Man, I miss some bacon, egg, and cheeses, man.
I have 3 Thai places on my block.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to streeteasy.com to get started. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day.
and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building. Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney+ and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.